Okay, if you got your Bibles this morning, we're going
to step away from Acts this morning. Book of Ephesians.
Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for such a beautiful day. Lord, I thank you for your people that are gathered in your place here this morning, Lord, to hear from you, to worship together. Lord, to be encouraged and strengthened by your Spirit in this place. And Lord, I pray this morning as we're gathered in this place, Lord, that you would just bind Satan from this place, from this building, from our hearts, from our minds. Lord, that there not be any opportunity for us, Lord, to be distracted as we study your word together. Lord, I pray that you would just open our hearts and our minds. Lord, I pray that you would speak your words through me. And Lord, that today we might receive the message you have for your church. We thank you and we ask these things in your name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 10. Very familiar verses this morning to you. I know, began to consider this week the idea of Father's Day, of course. We got all these, summer's busy with holidays, right? And special things on the calendar. We got a name for this day and that day, and we celebrate moms last month, and we don't want to leave dads out, so we celebrate dads this month, and there's a grandparents' day somewhere in there, and a kid day, I'm sure, is every day, right? Those are those things that we celebrate when we think about on the calendar. But I wonder, in our life today, we consider some of the things, and honestly, I had talked to Jenna, she mentioned earlier about singing for us quite a while back, and she just kept going back and forth and back and forth, and I find it interesting that God would give her a song like she sang for us this morning and bring me to the message that he's brought us to this morning. We are in a battle in our hearts and in our lives today, in the life of the church. There's a great battle ahead of us. But the great opportunity to celebrate is to know that there's a God that already knew all of the battles of our life. And there's a God that knows what we need in the midst of the battle. And we've read these verses before, but in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, we see a thought for us to consider what God has enabled us or prepared us in when we think of these things. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." As Paul is writing here to the church at Ephesus, and we think about some of these things, we consider as we've been studying through the book of Acts, all the different churches that we see that Paul ministered to, this is one of those churches. This is one of those places, and we've discussed it already in the book of Acts in the early church. As we consider some of these things, we bring a thought in our minds today about this battle. And as he says there in the later part of this chapter, he says, "Finally, my brethren," again referencing to the church, to us as brothers and sisters in Christ. We might could take it very personally as men of God today, as we consider Father's Day, we consider an opportunity. Maybe you're not even a father, you're just a child of God today. Maybe you're not a father, maybe you're not a husband, maybe you're the wife, maybe you're a single individual, whatever it might be. All of those things in our mind and our heart today bring the same concern for the church, that we recognize, as he mentions to the brethren, that we would be strong, and he clarifies most important part of this verse, that it's in the Lord. Do we recognize this morning that our strength is not of ourselves?
That's right.
That whatever strength, even though it might be weak, but we consider this morning, have you ever had a time in your life when you were weak? When you were physically just weak? You couldn't do the things that you want to do, maybe? Maybe there's times and situations in your life where you've come in those things. Probably comes to our mind or our heart when we've been ill. A lot of times if we come down with some sort of illness, then our body becomes fatigued and weakness is more obvious then. Maybe as we grow older, there's times in our lives as we grow older that we start to recognize that there are things that we just cannot do that we used to do. That's just one of those conversations as we get older, that we have those conversations. I hear people say that all the time. I can't do the things that I used to do. And that might be a physical thing. We recognize today that spiritually we can become very weak. And I think the condition in the life of the church today is very weak. If we take the overall picture, if we were to look at the church of God in its entirety, there are times when we are very weak. If we were to very intentionally this morning take a look inward to our own hearts, we might say that we are weak. And that it might not be today. It might have been in some other time or some other situation in your life. But we know the weakness that comes. And if we begin to realize this morning that only the strength that we have, even if it's limited strength of ourselves, is useless. But the strength that is in the Lord can move us in a different direction. And he says there, and be strong in the Lord. Brings a thought to our mind to realize that it is not about you and it's not about me. Our life today is not about what I can accomplish. Our thoughts and our ideas in the life of the church is not about what we could accomplish, but what God is already accomplishing. And what the Heavenly Father has in store for you and for I and for the life of the church, whether it's here, whether it's in Rocky Ford, whether it's in Only Springs, or whether it's in a foreign country, God is working in His church. And we have a challenge today to consider and a thought for us as men as we consider some of the things that we celebrate today in an attitude of Father's Day and what has God really called for us, that we would consider some of these things. And He says, in the power of His might. It's in the strength of the Lord and it's in the power of the might of God that we move and we work. And then he goes to the next verse and he tells us as the church to put on something. To put on the armor. And he says the whole armor of God. That verse is very specific. It doesn't say a piece or a part of that thing. Now we take into consideration, we've read these verses before together as a church. You might come into your mind this image of a soldier. What we would consider in the Roman army, probably, that was more relevant to the context of the verses that we're seeing here, the military force and the armor that they wore in the days of the Bible, as we read it, are a little different than what we consider today, probably. But the same thought is there. Our military today is very well equipped to protect themselves. They put on an armor. They have their helmets. They have their shields. They have their bulletproof vests. They have these kind of things. We have armored vehicles today that our military rides around in to protect themselves. They have weapons to protect themselves. And whether we recognize it or not today, God has provided for us today in the life of the church the things that are necessary for protection. And it's important for us to consider the training process that our military folk go through. Is they are trained to not go into the battlefield without those necessary things. They have a checklist that they go through day after day, moment after moment. They look through these things. Those of you that have been involved in the military, you know all those things. There's the constant monotony of doing the same thing every day just to say that you're prepared for what is coming. And it's important today in the life of the church for us today, not only the men in this place that are fathers, that are leaders in this, in your homes and in our church, but for every one of you as faithful servants of the Lord, we have a responsibility to be prepared for these things. And God has given us the ability to do that through His Word. He says here that we would put on the whole armor of God, not just one piece. Now we consider today what a soldier might look like if he went half prepared to battle. Right? If he only took part of the armor that was provided for him. First things first is he would get to the battlefield knowing that he forgot something and be looking around for what could be used in other ways. What could be used to protect himself? What could be used in the lack of what he left behind? And today, unfortunately, in the life of the church, I think as believers, we are many a times leaving back part of the armor that God has provided for us. And for many a reasons, either we've forgotten, we've neglected to pay attention to picking up all of the things that God has provided for us, or we've simply chosen that some of the armor is just too heavy and we're not going to bother to carry it. And this is the real scenario in the life of the church today. I want you to consider what Paul challenges to the church at Ephesus here is that we would put on the entire armor that God has provided for us. Look, the whole armor of God, that you may be able, he says, for what purpose do we put on the armor of God? That we would stand against the wiles of the devil. Now take into consideration today that there is actually wiles of the devil. That's those thoughts. That's that movement of the devil today. And if you don't recognize this morning, the devil is moving in this world that we live in. He is alive, he is active, and he is doing things in the world around us. And whether you want to admit it or not, he's doing things in this church, and he is actively moving in your homes and in your own personal lives, and we need to be on guard. And God has given us a responsibility as the church to put on the armor of God. Paul brought a thought in these verses so that we might be able to stand against all of the things that the devil will put at us. To put it in our thoughts, in our minds today, when we consider this, the very literal picture that comes to my mind in this verse when he says the wiles of the devil is this attitude of a predator. You ever think about animals in the wild? There's those that are predators and those that are not. They're the prey. That's the definition of that. Have you ever felt like you were prey to the devil? You ever recognized that the devil is just as one of those roaring lions out there in the midst of the wilderness? He is just like one of those predators seeking an opportunity to attack the faithful followers of Christ. And we have to come to a realization this morning that the devil has nothing other in his mind and in his heart to do than to destroy the faithful servants of God. And to destroy the work that God has set forth in our lives. It is by no accident that God has given us verses like this to be reminded in Scripture that we are equipped as followers of Christ with the things that are necessary to protect us. But we have to make a decision in our mind and our heart that we will allow the things that God has provided to be an important part of our life. That we won't choose to set aside parts of the armor because it's inconvenient. Or we won't choose to set aside parts of the armor because it's uncomfortable, because it's too heavy, because it's too burdensome. But that we would take on the whole armor of God. And we recognize today that if we do not put on the armor of God this morning in the life of the church, then we are susceptible to the wiles of the devil. And as he prays around looking on us weak prey, then there's opportunity. God has given us what is necessary today in the life of the church. He says in verse number 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." I want to challenge your heart this morning as we consider an opportunity, not only as fathers this morning that are sitting in this room, but individual Christians, that we are in a spiritual battle today. And that we have the opportunity to face these things with the armor that God has provided to us. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Do you ever consider what it is that we're wrestling today? Do you recognize this morning that we do wrestle? That there's this difficulty in the life of every human being that professes a relationship with Jesus Christ today. Very key and important distinction to understand this morning. That unbelievers, people that have never accepted Jesus Christ, do you realize they do not wrestle with these things? They don't. There's no need for them to wrestle because they're living in that lifestyle of sin and obedience to the devil and the things of the world. In the book of James, it talks about the lust of the flesh and all of those things that trap us. That's the things that the world lives in. The world is not wrestling with the things that are going on. It is the church that wrestles, that battles with these things. It is you and I as individual Christians that battle these things. And God has provided for us this morning an opportunity to look past this. He says we wrestle not against that physical flesh and blood that's obvious today, but it's against the spiritual powers that are in the background that nobody pays attention to. Against the principalities, against the powers. Look at this. The rulers of the darkness of this world. That's what we're wrestling today. It's the challenge of our life. Against spiritual wickedness, and look what he says, in high places. That takes it out of the realm of our mind and our thoughts, and it puts it into this consideration this morning for the church. He says in verse number 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God." Do you think it's important this morning that it's mentioned more than once in three verses? That we put on the whole armor of God. Today, what we need in the world today is faithful men that will be willing to put on the armor of God. faithful women that will be willing to put on the armor of God every single day as we get up in the morning and we go about the things that God has called for us to do, that we would recognize that it is not my power, it is not my ability. There is no way possible this morning. As you sit in this place, there is not possible for any one of us to get out of bed and live on our own power. We live because God has allowed us to live. We have life and we have breath and we have the ability to do what we do because the Heavenly Father said it was okay for us to do that today. We're here in this place this morning because God said we could be here. And we consider this morning what it means to put on that whole armor. Take unto you the whole armor of God. And look at verse 13, the later part of that verse, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, he says in 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And we've read these verses before, but there's a careful consideration this morning. And what is the armor? In three verses, we've discussed that God tells us to put on the whole armor. And now Paul begins to define what is the armor. And we've read this before, but you consider these things. That you may be able to withstand. And we define the word withstand. If we have the armor of God, then we can withstand those things. Consideration today for some of the things that we talk about withstanding. Thank the Lord we don't have a lot of the weather issues that some of the other places in our world do. But you consider what it means to withstand in the building world today. They build homes out there for those people that like to live close to the water and stare out over the ocean all the time. They've got to build homes that will withstand the wind. That will withstand the rain and the storms that come running across the ocean. And there's all kinds of things that have to be built. We know what wind is, but we don't know what that kind of wind is. When those kind of things come about, do you ever consider today in your life that God has provided the ability for us to withstand the storms of life?
Amen.
And it's built into His Word and His truth and the armor that God has given to us. And Paul mentions it here that we might be able to withstand. He says, in the evil day. Do we recognize this morning in the life of the church that we're living in an evil day?
Right.
Do you know today that even though the world doesn't understand evil, and even though the world looks at everything according to the Scripture, we read it and we understand it according to God's Word and tells us that we'll get to the day that we're living in today, where evil is good and good is evil. Where the world says that all the things that are okay and all the things that are, it's all right for you to live this way and live that way and say this and do that and it's okay to do these things, and the world is now saying that the things that are truth of God are not okay. Right? Do you see that? And Paul brings the challenge to the heart today that we would withstand the evil day. That we would be able to stand against those things. And look at that verse. And having done all to stand, he says, when you've done all that you can do, when you've rolled out of bed on the first thing in the morning and you've put on the armor of God and you've looked to the realization this morning that your life is only in existence today because of the Heavenly Father, and we've done all to give Him the glory and the praise, then we can stand. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. It's important today that we're girt about with the truth. And the only truth. And that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is today no truth in our world. The world doesn't care about truth. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to know it. The world's definition of truth is whatever it is that I want to tell you while I'm standing in front of you right now. And when I go down the street and I talk to the next person, I can change the truth so that it fits my scenario and my situation with this person and with that person. And if you don't realize it today, that's false. It's not truth. It is a lie. That's the world today. And unfortunately, that idea is creeping into the church. The true definition of truth is only defined in the Word of God. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. And we take for careful consideration the breastplate in this picture, this image that we might consider. We've looked at it before, this image of a Roman soldier. That breastplate's kind of important, right? You recognize today the breastplate, what is that? That kind of shield. It kind of protects all your vital organs here. That's kind of the process in the battle of war. Do you ever consider today that the old devil would just love to get to your heart? Without our heart protected, we're vulnerable. That's why there's a breastplate there. And that pattern of that armor that God has given to us and the protection that we have been offered today as Christians for our heart is that the Holy Spirit lives within us.
Amen.
We ought to rest in the protection of the Holy Spirit that we say lives in our life today. We get up in the morning and we consider our life and our relationship with the Lord, and we know that it's the Holy Spirit that is protecting our heart and that He's guiding us and He's leading in our life. You consider today in the soldier's protection of his heart. If the heart is wounded, it's it, right? That's the end of it. You recognize today if something goes wrong with your heart and it can't be fixed, you're going to die. The heart is necessary. And the heart today for the church is important. And we have that protection offered to us as the church. He says in verse number 15, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." We go about this preparation of the gospel. Now he says that our feet are shod with those things. Again, it's very important. You consider the armor that a soldier wears. You say, well, man, that's just your feet. It's not real important, right? Not real important to protect your feet. Anybody had hurting feet before? Anybody ever got up in the middle of the night and stubbed your toe on the dresser? And that big toe just throbs and throbs for weeks on end, and you can't walk and you can't move and you can't... You realize today how important it is physically for your feet to be protected. That's why we wear socks and shoes and do those kind of things when we go out into the world. Some of you are tougher than I am. You don't wear those socks and shoes all the time. But we have protection there. And God has offered for us in the same protection that He says there that our feet would be shod. That we would have that preparation of the gospel. That when we're about the life that God has called us to, that the most important thing we can consider is where is God leading us? Where are your feet moving today? Would you consider this morning, as men and women of God, would you consider this morning where you're moving and what direction your life is going in? And take for a second to consider, is your life moving in the direction that God has called it to go? Are you taking steps with your feet according to the gospel of God? Are we moving in the direction? Is the priority of your life this morning to make steps in your life physically that will prove the love of God in your life? What steps do we take? Do you ever consider the places that you go and the things that you do and the life that you're living? If we take a step in this direction today, all the way down to the very small details of our life, is it in accordance to the preparation of the gospel? He says in verse number 16, "And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Consider that for a minute. The shield of faith. And it's no accident that he says above all. We've had many and multiple conversations and studied many of verses in Scripture that talk about our faith. But I wonder this morning, what's the condition of your faith today? How's your faith this morning? Do you believe in a God that loves you? Do you believe in a heavenly Father that sent His only begotten Son to die on a cross for you and I? And if you truly believe that and you know without a doubt in your heart that you've confessed that sin and you believe in your life that God sent His one and only Son for you and you believe that His plan and His purpose is more and greater than you could ever imagine in your life, then you would by faith take steps forward to do what God has called you to do. And he says, above all else, take the shield of faith. It's the evidence in your life today as a soldier in the battle against the evil one in this world today that you will pick up the shield of faith and take a step of obedience. Without hesitation, without question. Do you consider in your life today that faith in Jesus Christ and His plan for your life is most important today? And that God has put you right where you are. Wherever that might be today. Maybe your life's uncomfortable this morning. Maybe you're not really comfortable in your relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're not really comfortable in your relationship with others in this church. Maybe you're not really comfortable in your own home and your relationship with your friends and your family. Maybe you're not really comfortable at work. Maybe life for you right now is so mixed up you don't even know what's right. You know, the battle that you're facing right now is not uncommon, but the God that can lead you through it is the God of this universe. And He's provided every opportunity for us to faithfully do what He's called us to do. And I think the challenge that we should gain from this verse this morning, not only for you men as fathers, as you strive to lead your families and to lead in this church, but for every one of you as faithful servants of God, is to pick up the shield of faith and start listening to what God has called you to do. He says in that verse as a definition, we pick up that shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Again, careful consideration says that now God is revealed to us that we're going to have things thrown at us. Man, what would it look like today in the life of the church if we'd finally get it figured out and understand that all of this difficulty and conflict and struggle we're battling with right now spiritually in our life is all part of God's plan? And it's not a bad thing when we've taken the shield of faith. And we take a step of obedience that says, God, even though I'm facing uncertain questions right now, I trust You with my life. I trust You with who You are and what You're doing in my life. I trust You with my life. I trust You with my family's life. I trust You with this church family's life. I trust that You know that there's lost people all over this community that need to know Jesus Christ. And I trust that You'll use me if I'm willing to do it. That's what it means to pick up the shield of faith. To take a step of obedience, no matter what you're facing right now. I know every one of you are facing something. We all are facing something one day or the other. It might be today, it might be tomorrow. Maybe you don't know you're about to face something. But what you can know is that there's a God that already knew it. And He's already provided for us. And He's challenged us, as Paul is challenging to the church at Ephesus, to pick up that shield of faith. So that when we step into that battle and our feet are prepared with the gospel and our mind and heart is focused on the things of God, that we can shield ourselves from the fiery darts of the evil one. They're coming. And they might be a part of your life right now. You might be attacked in every direction. You might be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Paul says, now we've got our shield of faith. Man, we start to build this picture in our mind this morning of the armor of God. And from head to toe, we're protected. We've now taken in our mind, I want you to consider this morning one of the most important messages we could ever learn from this verse, is that we consider today that helmet and its definition of salvation. That protection is there. The Holy Spirit is living in our heart and in our mind. I know without a doubt that Jesus is the Lord of my life. That's the helmet of salvation that we put on every day. Do you know that Jesus is the Lord of your life? Do you believe it in your heart? Do you know it in your mind? It's no mistake that it's defined that way, that it's the helmet of salvation. Because one of the biggest difficulties we face in church life today is battling with our mind and the sinful nature and the thoughts that run through our mind day after day, minute after minute, hour after hour. You don't believe me? Go home and consider it today. Go home and pray that God will show you what your biggest difficulty is. And I'm going to tell you honestly, it's the same for every one of us. There's not one of us in this room that's any different. The biggest battle we face is our own mind telling us to do something that our heart says is right or wrong. When the Holy Spirit is indwelling in your life and He's leading in your heart, we've got to get to a place in our mind that says, you know what, God, my heart says, because of the Holy Spirit living in me, this is what I need to do. My brain says that's the worst thing in the world. When we get serious about our relationship with the Lord, we can understand that our mind needs to be in tune with the heart that God has given to us. If your mind says something different and contrary to the truth of God, we need to bring our mind into subjection, in obedience to Christ. It's no mistake that it's mentioned that we have a helmet of salvation. We recognize today that there was a moment and a time in your life when you accepted Jesus as your Savior. You put that helmet of salvation on every day when you go out into the world. And you believe it in your heart and you know it in your mind, then you're a confident soldier that is busy about the work that God has called us to be. One of the biggest things that happens, and you talk to military people all over this world, you want to talk to somebody that's been in the military. One of the biggest battles they face is getting people in the right mind to do what needs to be done. It's the same problem we're facing in the church today. Our mind is no longer focused on the change that took place in our heart. Our mind is focused on how do we get the world to see what we want them to see, and how do we get them to do what we want them to do. If our heart is in the right place, our mind will follow along, and we're serious about our relationship with the Lord. And he says then, we get to this one little opportunity. One, do you realize through all of this armor that God has given us, there's only one weapon that he's given us. And it has nothing to do with me, and it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the Word of God. Yeah. Our weapon today as the church against the devil is the truth of Jesus Christ. And the Word that is written for us. He says, you take for yourselves that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse number 18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. What does he say? For myself, right? Prayers and supplications for my own wants and my own desires. No. He says prayer and supplication for all the saints. Take unto yourself the armor of God. And then he says, praying always. It's not the only place in Scripture that we're reminded as the church to pray. Pray, pray, pray. You realize today that one of the biggest weaknesses in the church today and the biggest weaknesses in the life of individual Christians is we don't know how to pray. We don't know when to pray. We don't know why we pray. We don't even know really what it's all about. We just go through the steps. We go through the motions. For a majority of Christians today, we pray a prayer that resembles something we heard somebody else pray somewhere, some other time, because it's convenient for us to pray like everybody else prays. True prayer is from the heart. True prayer and relationship comes into our life, and we get into a place and a condition where we say, Lord, I don't even know what to say, but I know that you do. And my prayer life and your prayer life is about your communication with the Heavenly Father. Prayer is us praying to the Heavenly Father to do what he said he would do in our life, and we receive his answer through the Word of God. That's communication. Pray always. Look what he says. Pray always with all prayer and with supplication, not in our own minds, but in the Spirit. And watching thereunto, what does he say? With all perseverance and supplication for all saints. When we pray, then we watch. I wonder today what the church would look like. I wonder today what your life would look like, fathers, dads, moms, faithful servants of the Lord, servants of God in this church, in this community, in the place that you work and live and all that you do. What would life look like today if we prayed and then we watched for God to do something? You realize one of the biggest challenges we face in church life today is we pray, not according to the Spirit, but we pray so that God will do what we want, when we want Him to do it, how we want Him to do it. And when he doesn't do it, we get out on the streets and start trying to make it happen ourselves until it happens. And then when it happens, we say, oh, look, I prayed and God did it, right? Look what God did. And sometimes we give God credit for things he wasn't even involved in, because we left him way back here. We start praising God because we got what we wanted. I want to challenge your heart this morning to consider that if all you're doing is praying for what you want and that's what you get, you might consider whether or not it really came from God or not. Whether it was that you prayed for God's will. Because the pattern of the church today is to pray for God to give me what I want, and then he gives it to us, and then we say, praise God, he gave me what I wanted, and then when it falls apart, we say, God, why'd you give that to me, right? Thank the Lord, if we prayed according to God's will and according to God's plan, he would give us what he wants, when he wants it, in the best timing and in the best situation, and we would be the church that God has called us to be. We'd be the fathers that we need to be to our children. We'd be the husbands we need to be to our wives. We'd be the wives that we need to be to our husbands. We'd be the church brothers and sisters in Christ that God wants us to be. And people would come to know Jesus Christ. And we'd be the church that God has called us out to be. When we start to pray, and Paul brings the challenge here that we would pray always with all prayer, and he says, and with supplication, that means beyond just simply praying it, but we get serious about it. We take our supplications to the Lord, we begin to pray, and then we watch. Look what he says. and watching thereunto, what? With all perseverance. It does not mean that we climb up in the stands and wait for God to do something. Right? That idea of perseverance means that we keep doing what God told us to do until He tells us to do something different. And I wonder this morning if you can even, and if I can even remember this morning, what is the last thing that God called us to do? And maybe the more important thing for you to consider today is maybe you can remember the last thing God told you to do, because He just told it to you again this morning. Maybe. But maybe more importantly, did you do it? Because I believe without a doubt that God has called us to do some things. And His plan for your life might be a little different than mine and the person sitting next to you. But if God has called you to do something, the most important thing we could do it. Right? And we could take the step of obedience. Because if God continues to call us to do it and we say, God, I don't want to do it, then we've not been obedient to Him and we're not the child He's ever called us to be. And if He's called us to do it and we've done it, then we can rest assured knowing we've done exactly what God has called us to do. And we can come together, not only as individuals, but the life of the church. We can come together and say, this is what we know God called us to do. Now, where do we go from here? And that's the perseverance. What happens in church life today and in many a believer's lives is that we take one step of faith and then we say, God, I'm waiting. God, I'm waiting. Do it again. Show me again. I need the next thing. I need this. I need that. And all the while, He's asked us to just persevere in what He's already called us to do. And maybe God's plan for us is just to keep doing what we've been doing until He says it's time to do something different. Amen. But most of the time, for Christians today, we get tired of doing what God's told us to do. So we want to create some other magical way of doing something different. And we start looking at somebody else's life, and we start looking at some other Christian's life, and we start looking at some other church's life, and we say, well, what they're doing seems to look really cool. Let's try it. What that guy does is really neat. I want to be a part of that. And maybe God never told us to do that. If you know what God calls you to do, would you be willing to keep doing it? Persevere. And then He says, in all supplication, not just for your friends, not just for the people you're most comfortable with, not just for your family, but for all saints, that we continue to take them before the Lord. And for me, Paul says, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Man, what if that was the desire of the church today? We just prayed for every person in this building today and all the people that are not in the chairs that should be in these chairs this morning. And we prayed that God would convict their heart of obedience to Him, not to be in church, to convict their heart to be obedient to God. Yeah. And when their hearts are right with God, they'll be in the church. Okay. We pray for the lost people that have never met Jesus, that God would convict their heart of a need to know Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said right there, that supplication would be made on his part so that he could preach boldly what God had called him to preach. And I guarantee you this morning as the church, if you'd start praying for all the people that are sitting in this room to boldly speak the words that God has told us to speak, we would see a difference in our lives and we'd see a difference in the life of the church. Mm-hmm. Pray for each other. Genuinely pray. He says, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul brought a challenge to the church here at Ephesus, and he brings a church challenge to us here this morning in this church. While we celebrate Father's Day, I want to challenge your heart as men, as fathers, that you would be the husband, the father that God has called you to be. And you do that by being obedient to what God has told you to do. Living in His Word. For you women, the same challenge is there. For you children, the same challenge is there. Our young people, our single people, it doesn't matter. We go all across the board. God is speaking to every believer in every part of this world right here in this verse. God has given you the ability to do what He's called you to do if you'll trust Him with it. Will you make a commitment today? Just do what God's asked you to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning. We thank You for Your Word and we thank You for Your truth this morning. I thank You for the armor that has been provided for every individual believer today, for Your church. And Lord, I pray in our hearts and our lives this morning, as we sit here in this place before You today, Lord, as we consider the celebration of a day set aside for our fathers, Lord, we celebrate a Heavenly Father that loves us beyond anything we could ever imagine. Lord, a Heavenly Father that sent His one and only Son for me and for every person in this world. And Lord, I pray that it's our heart's desire today as the church that we'd be in right fellowship and right relationship with You without any hesitation, without any question. Lord, we know that we sin. We know that we fail. But we know that we've got a God that's forgiven us of those things. And I pray in this time of invitation, Lord, that You'd put it in our heart and our mind today. That we not be content with just living the life we've been living in disobedience and discontent. But Lord, that we'd come to right fellowship and relationship with You today. Lord, that we put on the armor that You provided for us and we might go out against the evil one in this world and be a light for You. Lord, You know every heart. You know every life here this morning. I pray in this time of invitation, if there's decisions that need to be made, that we'd be obedient to do what You've called us to do. And we're going to be careful to give You the praise. We ask these things in Your most precious name. Amen. You will stand with me. You're going to use a hymnal that's 275. Father, we thank You for this beautiful day. We thank You for Your presence here in this place. Lord, we thank You for Your word and Your truth. And I pray, Lord, as we leave here, Lord, today, that we're reminded of Your spirit and Your direction in our lives. And Lord, that we strive to just be obedient. Lord, that we put on the armor that You've provided for us, that we might go out into the world and be the light You've called us to be. And Lord, that we might stand against the wiles of the devil because of Your Holy Spirit leading and directing. Lord, we thank You. We ask these things in Your most precious name. Amen.